This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the silly? Oh, permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. These are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact their team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. It's the DA show on CBS Sports Radio. Andrew Bogish and myself, Mraz, in for DA, who is headed down to B-more, to Baltimore, to play video games and have fun with our friend Lil Mo. And if you follow us on Twitter at CBS Sports Radio, at Mraz CBS, at Andrew Bogish, or go to Facebook.com/TheDAShow, we have our Target Demo meme up. That's right, it is a Target Demo Friday with a little picture of Lil Mo walking across the field in Baltimore to Ravens game. Send your well wishes there as well as where you're listening, how you're listening. I'm sure DA will get that on the Facebook page specifically, be able to read those to Lil Mo. I think that'd be really cool for him, really uplift him. That kid, we love him. He's a loyal DA alien, just like any of you who listen to the show every day. Picture yourself at the ages from 8 to 14, listening to the show every day, calling, tweeting, interacting. Lil Mo is one of you. Lil Mo is one of us. Lil Mo's going through a little hard time right now. Very cool of DA to go down to Baltimore, go hang with him, have some fun. And me and Bogish, I know Bogish, we are more than happy to sit in here, have a little fun on a Friday in DA's absence as he goes down for a good cause.
Do we know what DA's schedule is? Like, is he already in Baltimore? Is he there? Is he on the move right now listening to us? Do we know the specifics of the trip?
Good question. I don't know. My assumption, and I guess I shouldn't assume, was that he was packing up shop and leaving today. Because it's about, for those of you maybe not listening in the Northeast, at least from where I live on Long Island, it is about a four and a half hour drive to get to the Inner Harbor in Baltimore to here. Now, I don't know where Lil Mo's at in Baltimore, but that's Long Island. So I'm guessing from upstate New York, because DA is a little closer to New Jersey, it actually might be even a little quicker. So I bet you DA might be up and even listening to the show now, driving down there. And he mentioned having some lunch with Lil Mo, so maybe getting down there for lunchtime.
Yeah, it's a good question geography-wise, because he is definitely north of us. So I would have thought that maybe his drive is longer, but maybe him coming south makes up for us having to go like west a little bit to get into the country, kind of, and then to scoot south to Baltimore. So, yeah, but it's a legit drive. It's definitely 4 to 5 hours for DA. So,
yeah.
Safe trip if he's making it right now, or hopefully he got down there safe and sound to hang out with Little Mo today.
And that's the irony is, we all obviously commute into Manhattan before the pandemic doing the show, and hopefully we will be able to see each other soon. But the funny thing is, Bogish and I doing these shows from home right now, we are only about 20 minutes away from each other in each of our little Long Island homes here. Pete also lives on Long Island, and there's DA totally getting off the Long Island way, going right upstate to New York, where we've obviously talked about how he basically acts like he's from the woods, but that might make for an easier trip to Baltimore. So good for DA.
We've all seen the pictures, though. The woods are in his backyard.
They are.
He is, and I have friends, other friends that live in that same part of upstate New York, And it's always been amazing to me because I've only lived in New York. I've only lived in the city my entire life. Like, you don't need to go far in New York State, especially north,
right,
to feel like you are not anywhere near New York City. And that's where DA lives.
Yeah, and I'm good on that. Like DA grew up with that, so he's used to that.
Yeah, I'm glad it's there if I need it, but I'm going to stay down here.
And by the way, upstate New York, beautiful. DA, look, there's upstate New York where Torque Bellinger would be from, where he's basically making crow on top of garbage cans and burning through roughage. And there's regular upstate New York where DA is basically from, where the backyards are luscious and big. But the moment I get in a situation where there's the potential for, let's say, bears or coyotes to, you know, meander through my backyard as I'm grilling, I'm good. I'm going to stick with the squirrels. Matter of fact, yesterday I had a couple bunny rabbits hanging out underneath my porch. Like, that's that. I'm good with that. That's the wildlife I need.
Dude, what? I mean, we've discussed on the show these, like, spider cricket things that seem to plague Long Island basements. But where do these bunnies come from? They run through my neighborhood like they own the place. They're hopping all around. They're everywhere. Where are they coming from?
By the way, there are probably people listening in other markets going, like, either saying, wait, you have bunny rabbits where you live? Or, of course there are bunny rabbits, you doofuses. You're right. Obviously, when I bought this house, I moved in. It's 10 months now. It was late August, September last year. I am not far, for anybody who's ever been to New York or Long Island, from the South Shore beaches. You know, the Hamptons are only another 40 minutes out east from me. I'm not far. There's a beach causeway called the Robert Moses Causeway where there's obviously a lot of bunny rabbits. I am a mere 8 blocks from that. So my assumption was my rabbits are coming kind of, you know, beach way up and over. But bogus, yesterday I go to take the baby for a walk. I come out, there's a mother bunny, and she's got 4 other bunnies on her udders. I didn't even know you could milk a rabbit. And there's the rabbit, and it's feeding the bunnies. They're all sucked on there.
Yeah,
did you know that you could milk a rabbit? I didn't.
Well, I knew that rabbits made milk because that's how they feed their babies. I don't think they were cutting up carrots and lettuce for them when they were newborn. I mean, they're a mammal. They're an animal, so they have to give them milk.
I just thought they hunted for food or ate grass or something. I didn't know we were latching on to udders.
Yeah, no, they are. I don't think no one produces rabbit milk, though. Like, it's not an alternative
to regular milk. We milk almonds somehow. We can't figure out a way to milk the rabbits if we really wanted to. I'm not saying you would, but could you milk a rabbit
I wouldn't even say that we milk almonds, I think, which is why I hate that it's called almond milk, because you know how much of a nerd I am when it comes to, like, word choice. Like, it's almond juice. It's not almond milk. Like, milk needs to come from a living thing that would normally be feeding its young with the milk, and we take it. And by the way, I believe we're the only species that drinks anything else's milk, like drinking cow milk. You know, cows don't dabble in goat milk. They drink cow milk. So there's a lot going on here, but no, yes, if you were to do the motion, you could get milk out of a rabbit, but that doesn't mean that we should come close to drinking it or doing it underneath your deck this weekend.
I was stumped, bogus. I sat there. I actually brought out a bag of chips from my stoop, and I sat on the stoop. I go, this is unbelievable. Forget. I mean, I've been watching the same nonsense on TV. I don't know how many more episodes of Law and Order I could watch during this pandemic. I said, I got these rabbits, and they're, you know, under their mother. And I'm counting them, and these little cute bunny rabbits go in the hand. And I was not being – I even threw carrots out to the mother. I had carrots. And I'm just thinking to myself, I can't believe you can milk a rabbit. I can't believe she's sitting there, and she's got enough, you know, areas that a baby – 4 babies can hang on to, latch on to, and we're sitting there, we're producing rabbit milk. It was stunning to me.
Yeah, I mean, that really shouldn't be stunning to you. That's how the world works. I mean, your wife could have done the same thing for your daughter.
Yeah, like I understand that, but every species
make milk for their babies.
So, all right, you just mentioned spider crickets. So spider crickets get born, and they're whooping out udders to feed their other spider crickets?
No, because they're not mammals. They're insects. They don't do that. But, like, horses make milk. Cows clearly make milk. Pigs make milk.
Folks,
dogs,
I have never
make milk.
In
Rabbits
my life,
make milk.
Never in my life seen a horse with a nipple. Never.
I saw one. You got to watch, throw on Nat Geo Wild and watch any of the vet shows that are on 24/7 on that channel, and you'll see everything that's got an udder that feeds its babies. But it's a base fact about being a mammal is that you produce milk for your offspring.
All right. Well, I want you to tweet at me at MorazCBS. If you have ever seen a horse get milked, please let me know, because it was the first time I saw a rabbit, and I think Bogus is way off here. I think you got cows, you got goats.
Well, you're using the wrong word here, too. To say that something is milked means that something that's not its kid is taking the milk out of its body. A baby, a bunny, drinking from his mom is not milking a rabbit. It's just nature.
Why not? So milking is only when you use your hands?
Yeah, exactly. When either a hand or a machine takes the milk out so it can go in a bottle for us to drink it, that's milking.
Okay, if you've ever seen a horse produce milk, please let me know. CBS. That might be our question here. I'm sorry. I found it fascinating. I couldn't believe it. I was eating some chips. I was watching a couple rabbits.
Could swing by and pick me up for this trip to Baltimore?
What a hook.
Pick him up.
Pick him up.
Like, that's another thing. Diaz, go to Baltimore. Have you ever seen two crabs latch onto a mother crab and get milk from the crab?
No, because they're not mammals. They're not.
Well, what's
mammals?
The difference? They're in the water. The sea lion's a mammal. Why would a crab be a mammal?
One of the differences is that they don't feed their babies with milk. That's okay. One of the differences.
So
that's why they have different names.
So what makes a crab as a hard shell and a mammal's skin? Is that the difference?
There's one of them, yeah. Skin, fur, live birth. Producing milk. There's a number of things that make you a mammal or not a mammal.
Okay. All right. Well, look, I found it fascinating. As we said, I learned something new every day. So, yes, I don't know how we got onto rabbits and milk and all of that, but here we are. Well, it is a fraud.
Before we leave it, let me tell you that doing it like bunnies, like that's a real cliche from fact. Like, I don't know if you need to be careful about this, but if there's babies now, there could be babies over and over again underneath your house. I don't know if that's a problem or not, so I would keep an eye on the bunny population living underneath the Mraz deck.
Well, I got news for you. Eli's keeping an eye on it, that's for sure. My popski, he's eyeing them down. They better not make their way to the backyard. There's going to be some real
maybe
problems.
Maybe he's just thirsty. He needs to refuel with the next piece of
by
equipment.
If I end up,
he's going to
ruin
your house.
If I end up walking out the house today and I see Eli latching on to the mother rabbit for his milk, I'm walking away from the house. That's going to be it for me. All right, well, now to more serious matters. I don't even know how. Again, another DA show segue.
No, I got your segue. If rabbit milk is healthy, Tom Brady would drink it.
Okay, here we go. Perfect, folks. And here we go with Tom Brady. You know, yesterday, Bogus and myself texting evening time, trying to figure out where we were going to go with the show, have kind of a rough outline where we're going, and I sent him kind of a detail. Okay, what do you think of any of these topics? Should we slot them in? And he said, well, we also have Tom Brady's Instagram post. I had not seen it until Bogus had texted me, and I said, well, what did Tom Brady do now? So Tom Brady, if you've been following along, the coronavirus cases are spiking in several states, one of them being Florida, which was a state that very early on kind of Heisman posed the coronavirus. No masks, we're going to do what we want, and we kind of had this divide in this country between, you know, what was the right thing to do with coronavirus and what wasn't. And now Florida, cases through the roof, and we hope everybody's okay there. We don't want to see any more deaths or mass deaths or hospitals overrun, obviously. We know it all too well living in New York what was going on. And Tom Brady is pressed on in Florida with workouts with teammates. No coaches, no anything, having it. And Tom Brady took to Instagram, in his Instagram story, with him drinking the stupid water in his TB12, TB2, whatever stupid fuck shirt it was, with a FDR quote, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. And my immediate reaction, I'm sure, was much like Bogus, where you shook your
Who's
head.
Who's FDR?
It was FDR. Why? No. Why? That was not what he said?
My initial thought was, who's FDR?
Oh, no. Yeah. No, I know
he
that.
Laughed,
I know that.
For sure.
I know. He led to a drive in Manhattan. I am aware of who
there
FDR
you,
is.
He paved the road.
He paved the road. And I guess let me couch this, Bogus, before I get your opinion. I think in many ways it is so silly that so many of us have argued about the coronavirus and its merits, and I think there's one undeniable thing that we can't argue. People have died, people have lost their lives, and whether they had underlying conditions or not, and several did, they still were taken before whatever condition they had would have taken from it. And it's really sad, and a lot of families had to go through this. There were families that couldn't have funerals, that couldn't have wakes or memorials, and we all have had our lives altered. I mean, we're still working from home, most of the country here, sheltered in place. And some states have handled it better than others, obviously. I do think there is people who, at the same token, have been maybe way too negative about it. People have been way too positive about it. Like, when I hear people say coronavirus is a hoax, it's just, I mean, you're an idiot. And when, people talk about sports come back, go, well, how could sports come back? We have positive tests. I do think there's some kind of middle ground here where we need to take care of those who are elderly and with underlying conditions and make sure we're not going out of our way to see them if they don't have to be seen, keep them safe. And I do think there is an element of, yeah, at some point, we do need to live our lives in the best way we can, whether that's wearing masks or whatever, just to, you know, have businesses open and people have livelihoods back. So I do think there's a middle ground that needs to be found. That being said, there's also things that are of importance, things not, things that are better for mental health, things that are not. And I'm not telling Tom Brady not to exercise and not to go work out. But what I am telling Tom Brady, and I'm sure Bose, you feel the same way, is as you are in a state now where cases are spiking and you're clearly seeing that this is now getting to dangerous, where maybe you should, you know, kind of batten down the hatches for a couple weeks. Even if you want to continue to work out with your teammates, even if you are of the extreme belief that coronavirus is not a big deal, the idea that as a public figure, you're squirting water in your mouth and putting out fear-mongering quotes, basically telling anybody who is scared of coronavirus while dealing with people who have actually died that they shouldn't be fearing it, to me, is just completely tone-deaf. And I would expect a guy who's supposed to be a leader, one of the great franchise quarterbacks, maybe the greatest franchise quarterback we've ever seen, to just have a little self-awareness. And the lack of awareness, I find just to be stunning, Bogus.
Yeah, so, and I completely get that point, and it would be great if Tom Brady became a poster boy for, you know, wearing masks and being responsible and doing things by the book, because maybe that would get, because as we know, athletes, celebrities, musicians, actors have an insane amount of effect on people. So maybe if they're not listening to a doctor or a scientist or their mayor, maybe they'll listen to Tom Brady. Well, if TB12 says I should wear a mask, I'm going to wear a mask. That would be great. But before we even get to that, it just bothers me that they as a group are still hanging out when we know what group gatherings do.
Right.
Not all of them are dangerous, but like I've seen enough now to know that between LSU and K-State and South Carolina and Clemson, like when people get together, this is going to pass around. And the most surefire way to not be able to play football is if your entire offense has to be in 2 weeks of isolation. So, and plus, they've already had positive tests inside the Bucs organization. So I would just like Tom Brady, from a very simple, like, football standpoint, like, let's chill for now, guys. Like, if there is 12 of us right now, how about we do 2 6-player shifts?
Right.
And we spread this out a little bit, just so we don't shoot ourselves in the foot by passing this all around and getting ourselves, regardless of how sick I'm going to get, whether I have a symptom at all, let's just not get into this rut where we're on sliding 2 week scales of isolation, and all of a sudden it's September and maybe guys are not able to play or whatever. So I mean, it's just stupid to me that they are even shunning what seems to me to be like pretty obvious kind of science in this, is that they're putting themselves at risk of having to be off the football field that they so desperately want to be on.
So I completely agree with you, and I think that you hit on something important there. We've seen now in recent days, this week specifically, the Blue Jays players, Phillies players, obviously the Tampa Bay Lightning, what happened last week with positive tests. And I actually don't – I'm not going to crush those guys for testing positive and gathering, even though their official camps weren't there, because it seems pretty clear we're on the cusp of seasons, and at some point they're going to need to try to get ready and get that edge. They're going to be playing for their livelihoods, their championships. To me, there's no real true reason that Tom Brady needs to be gathering with Bucs teammates at this point until training camp. And I know he's on a new team and he's trying to get chemistry and all that, and he needs to have the edge, and that's the competitor in Tom Brady. And I know that Tom Brady's not alone. I know Lamar Jackson obviously has worked out with teammates. I've seen Daniel Jones workouts and work out with teammates. Nobody's absolved from this. But Tom Brady's also doing this in a state where cases are spiking, and also turning around afterwards and mocking those who are dare questioning him. And I just find it spiteful and disingenuous to a lot of people who have sat here and maybe are beginning to live their life and are doing it cautiously, or as cautiously as can be, but also not trying to, you know, tell others how to live their life as well. And it's almost like Tom Brady's trying to tell others, not only should you not be questioning me, why are you not doing what I'm doing?
Right, because it is, we should point out that they are not breaking any rules with these workouts, whether they're local, you know, Tampa area rules. And while the PA has said they advise against group workouts, it's only a suggestion. It's advice. It is not a rule that they are breaking. So, I mean, they are not wrong in that standpoint. And all the other guys that you mentioned, and there's been plenty of these workouts, I don't know that anybody else has been smug about it after the fact. Like, I don't believe Daniel Jones has put anything on social media like this. You know, people were mad at Lamar Jackson for hanging with Antonio Brown, which is a whole other conversation.
Right.
I don't think anybody else is putting up these, you know, subtweet Instagram posts like, I'm better than this, I know better. Like, it's a risk to be in a group. I mean, it is, and we're all making our own individual decisions on how we're going to do that. I mean, I'm doing it now with my kids and how we're going to handle 4th of July and going to the park right. again or hanging out in backyards. So everybody can do whatever they want. But, like, the judgment that comes from this post as if he knows better and the rest of us are overreacting is also just nonsense from Brady.
Yeah, and a perfect example, I have my daughter has finally been cleared to have a baptism coming up here, and the church has made it very clear how many people can come, and we originally, when she was born, had these great plans of, hey, this summer let's have this huge party. It's been significantly reduced, and this, I'm not trying to say I'm the same as Tom Brady, but I'm saying we've all had to make these life choices and decisions of, you know, how many people will you be around, you know, as the virus has evolved, and I know every state's different, and I just find it, as a guy, maybe he doesn't owe it to anybody to be a role model, and I know that in my mind, I want these players to play. I feel like positive tests are going to come. We're going to have to quarantine guys, and sports are going to have to press on. That's how I feel about it. But I just think that Tom Brady, with what's going on in Florida, even if you do want to work out and you're not, and you believe that a lot of this is overreaction, I could even live with that. I just think from his standpoint, it's completely tone deaf to post something like that on Instagram. It just is.
It also makes total sense. I mean, because he's been telling us that he knows the better way to do things for a long time now. So right. It makes sense that he would do the same thing in this situation.
Yeah. And by the way, you don't want to wish it on him whatsoever. And I'm not saying that. If Tom Brady ends up testing positive for coronavirus, he is going to look like an idiot. And I also think it's a terrible business move for him with all these TB12 health methods and everything because, well, I mean, he'll immediately be mocked by it. And then second of all, everybody's going to point and go, well, how great are your methods if you ended up getting this virus anyway, which is supposed to keep you as healthy as possible? So he's really
playing with
fire.
We've talked about this with... Yeah, we've talked about this with Novak Djokovic in the tennis world. I mean, right. I feel bad that him and his wife have it. I'm thankful that they have no symptoms, apparently, which is always good news. But the bottom line is, part of the reason why he has it is because he didn't think it was a big deal in the first place, and there were basically no rules on this tennis tour he scheduled recently in Europe. So, like, I don't want to hear now sympathy for him and like it has a limit, and I don't even want to hear like his apologies because he sounded ignorant, and now here he is with it, and he shouldn't be let off the hook for now that he's got to go, oh, this is really real. Like, it shouldn't work like that. You should have thought it was a thing to avoid in the first place, not after you get it and helped other people get it and bring it to different parts of the world.
What a segment, Bogish. The tone deafness of Tom Brady, and could you believe that rabbits could be milked? This is the kind of stuff we're getting on the TA show on this Friday morning. And if that wasn't enough, when we come back, we're stunned to a news, as if we already haven't been stunned enough this morning. DA, trekking to Maryland, it's Bogish and me, Mraz, in here on the DA show on CBS Sports Radio. As I said, stunned to a news next on CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
Mraz, to me, is some sort of mythical character, especially on your Instagram. He's always this amazing character study.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Ah, thank you, Layla. Mythical character. It's my wife calls me as well. Remember, it's an Ask the Pros Day. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Bogish, am I a mythical character?
I mean, you are hard to believe that you exist in the way that you exist, so I guess that makes you a mythical character.
Interesting. If you're just tuning in, Bogish and myself, Mraz, in for DA. We go to the Target demo meme, graphic, whatever you want to call it, facebook.com/the DA show, Twitter at CBS Sports Radio, at Mraz, CBS at Andrew Bogish. Let us know how you're listening, where you're listening, and you'll see a nice picture of Lil Mo there walking across the Ravens field. Send your well wishes to Lil Mo as DA heads down to Maryland to talk to him. Remember, on top of the radio.com app, you can ask your smart speaker, play CBS Sports Radio, and the Wizard of Watch DA, Cap, he didn't take a day off. He's still with us. You got myself and Andrew Bogish at Watch DA. If you get wherever you got to get going, want to pull it up on your phone, we're there, watchda.com. I'm wearing a shirt of a burger that actually says burger. And Bogish wearing a Smoke 'em if you got 'em with a bunch of meats t-shirt. We don't have a Milk 'em if you got 'em shirt with a bunch of animals, but that might be coming.
I was just checking. Definitely two of the three animals on my shirt are able to produce milk for their young. Pigs and cows definitely.
Stand up
do
for a
that.
Sec. Let me see the animals. Okay. So it's a pig, a cow, and a chicken. All right, so what you're saying, I get it now. A chicken hatches its eggs. A little chickadee is going to have oats and hay, but a milk and a pig and a cow are going to have their loved ones utter onto them.
I actually, not to gross you out, but I'm pretty sure the way birds do things is that the mom, or maybe even the dad, chews some things up and then kind of spits it into the chick's mouth. I think that's how they feed their young, because they definitely are not producing milk.
No, I mean, I think that's cute. I actually, it's funny. I can't believe we're going down another weird road here. Last night, my daughter had meat for the first time. She had her six-month appointment the other day, and the doctor said it's time to introduce some meat into her diet. Didn't ask if I wanted to go vegan, but that's not the other thing. So we had to my wife's been doing, like, the make-your-own baby food deal where, she blends up the sweet potatoes, the squash. She's doing a really good job with it. Way more patience than I would have. If it was me, I'd run to basically Target and fill up with
get a
whatever.
Happy meal, move on.
Protein? Exactly. Yeah. My daughter's very healthy. She's feeding her healthy stuff. So when she asked about the meat thing, my immediate reaction was, okay, so like when we have a steak or something, I'm supposed to like chew it up a little bit, help her out. So it's funny you just mentioned that because that was my reaction. That's how I thought I had to feed my daughter meat. As it turns out, she's basically cooking ground chicken and blending it up.
You asked a doctor if you should chew some meat up to soften and then give it to your daughter?
I knew enough not to ask the doctor. I asked my wife this when I reported back. So I had to take my daughter to the doctor myself. My wife was working. It was after the show earlier this week. I came home with this report about starting meat. And my thought process to her, because I know better than to ask the doctor something that could be stupid, was, how do we go about this? Do I chew up some of my dinner? And this way it gets fine for her because she doesn't have full teeth yet. So, as it turns out, no, doofus, you just cook the meat in some kind of pan, and then you blend it like you would the squash or the sweet potatoes, so she's having like pureed ground chicken with like carrots and sweet potatoes as a dinner.
Right.
Loved it, by the way. Loved it. But, so you just mentioned about the chickens. That was my thought, too. So, I'm not going to find a chicken gross for doing that when I was prepared to do that for my daughter.
I mean, I guess it's sweet that you were prepared to do that for your daughter, but it's also scary that you thought that was on the table for you to do for your daughter.
We'll get to the update and Stundo News in a sec. I will also say there was a part of me that looked at it as a positive, and I said, maybe this will become the best way for me to lose weight because I will get the taste of all the delicious meats I like while actually giving the fatness of them to my daughter. We can fatten her up, and I'll lose weight in the meantime, and that'll make me digest less food.
The cycle continues. Your mom put the heat of that dance floor fart on you, and now here you are hoping to get thin while giving your daughter the bad parts of the bacon double cheeseburger you're having for dinner.
Hey, all right, Andrew, what have we got in the update?
Oh, yeah, we've got headlines for you this morning. At the moment,
I am fat!
At the moment, it appears we will not know who put a noose in a garage stall at Talladega last fall. But according to NASCAR, there was no other rope like it at any other track on the circuit.
Across those 29 tracks and 1,684 garage stalls, we found only 11 total that had a pull-down rope tied in a knot. And only one noose. The one discovered on Sunday in Bubba Wallace's garage.
That was NASCAR President Steve Phelps with reporters after releasing a picture of the noose. It was in the stall as of last October, the last time NASCAR raced at Talladega, but it was apparently altered into a noose at some point during that weekend. NASCAR wasn't back at the track until last Sunday when it was discovered, so it was theoretically visible for months, but how many people could have saw it and ignored it is unclear. NASCAR says it does not know who did it, but is installing cameras in garages moving forward and mandating insensitivity and bias training for all those who would be at a track. NFL owners yesterday approved the plan to keep the seats closest to the field empty this season. They'll be covered by tarps and teams can sell ad space on them. As for fans in stadiums in general, the league may leave that up to individual teams and cities. The NFL has also informed teams to expect an on-time start to training camp, which means July 28th for most teams. The Steelers and Cowboys need new start dates because they're no longer playing the Hall of Fame game. That and the enshrinement ceremonies have been pushed to next year. And yes, they will honor this year's 10-member class alongside the normal size class next year. They'll do it over multiple days. Back on the preseason front, owners did not come to a decision yesterday on the length of the preseason. It could still be cut from the usual four down to two games. The NBA is going to use local, state, and federal authorities to protect their bubble in Disney World next month. Those professional law enforcement agents will be outside protecting the grounds. Yeah. Inside will be league security, team security, Disney security, and then contracted security guards as well. Not to make light of this setup, but I kind of want someone to just go down there and, like, run at whatever, like, guardrail there is, just to see what happens getting repelled by federal law enforcement.
About Schwartz?
So I included this in the topic, so we're going to get this in a little bit. I read this story yesterday, Bogish, and I had so many questions that I actually wanted to, like, reserve it for on air. This just seems so crazy to me, so over the top, but I don't want to ruin everything. We're going to get to it in a little bit. But, yeah, the idea that we're setting up a perimeter, like we're about to basically, you know, burst through the doors of some kind of drug raid in a Colombian, you know, mansion or something like that you would see in the movies. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Kings guard Buddy Hield, who is one of at least three Sacramento players who have tested positive for COVID-19 recently, says he will be healthy for Disney. Round two of the Travelers Championship underway in Connecticut. Mackenzie Hughes doesn't tee off until 1:40 Eastern after yesterday's 10-under-60. His lead is three shots over a group that includes Rory McIlroy, who also plays this afternoon. And Vancouver is out as a hub city for the NHL's restart next month. Apparently there was a disagreement between local health officials and the league about how to deal with a positive test inside the hockey bubble. So that now leaves Las Vegas, Chicago, LA, Toronto, and Edmonton as possibilities. The two scenarios seem to be either two Canadian cities or Vegas and a Canadian city. But again, that decision has not yet been made. And now, for the first time today, we're stuck.
Let's go.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
So today we've got a little bit of an update on an earlier stunner from this week. We told you how there is a growing group of people pushing to rename Columbus, Ohio, Flavortown out of respect for Guy Fieri at some point being in Columbus, Ohio. And obviously this is connected to the overall movement as we reassess all the different ways we have honored Christopher Columbus around this country. But the update this morning, the good news is that this petition, which I did sign earlier this week, is now up to 98,678 signatures. They are trying to get to 150,000, and they have plans at the moment to take the petition and all these signatures to Columbus City Hall next week to get this somehow officially considered as a movement. But the reason why I bring this up again today is because I got an email yesterday. You know, when you do this, you put your email in, and now, you know, they ask you if you can donate money to the cause to help the fight, whatever. So I got a follow-up email from one of the organizers. Well, just his first name is Tyler, and Tyler wrote this yesterday. Flavor Nation, thank you again for your unprecedented support. What started as a wild idea with perhaps a degree of cheekiness has erupted into an international talking point. I never would have expected this, and I'm humbled by your support. That said, due to some recent events, I will be stepping back from my involvement in driving the petition. I will not be able to return to Ohio to deliver it. I want people who still maintain residence in Ohio to be at the forefront of the celebration. I want current Ohioans to spearhead the change. And he goes on to, I think, apologize for the fact, which I at least follow along with, is making light of the Flavortown part of this and overlooking the severity of what Christopher Columbus may or may not have done and why we should not have. But it just, such a sincere, honest email. I've got to back away because I can't come back to Ohio. I have so many questions. Like, is he not allowed to leave the state he is in? Does he have a doctor's appointment he can't miss? Why can't he go back to Ohio to keep this fight going? I have so many questions.
All right.
I think we should try and book Tyler on the show next week.
All right, so this is a good point. So, okay, he admits that he did this in cheekiness, of course. And I would even say that I thought about this story after we did it for the rest of the day, and I thought, you know, as much as it was started as a joke, when you actually think about it, it still would be really cool if the city was named Flavortown, right? Like, why not? Other than the fact that we would laugh at it, but isn't it a good thing for the town if you kind of laugh at it? Like, there is a road up north on North Shore Long Island. It's like Bread and Cheese and Wine Road or something like that. And every time I get on it, I laugh. I go, oh, I love being on this road. I don't even know what's on the road. It's just the idea that I'm driving on it. Why can't there be a Flavortown, Ohio? Like, why not? And you know, and ultimately, he might have made light of, obviously, the Christopher Columbus stuff. But if we are going down that road of, hey, you know, no more Columbus Day, if, and we really want to do that, then isn't Flavortown as good as renaming it Stewart, Ohio? Like, why not?
Yeah, so I, too, spent way too much time, like, having legitimate thoughts about naming Ohio Flavortown. And, like, the biggest objection I could come up with is that Columbus, Ohio is too big of a town to have, like, a gimmicky name.
Why?
If you're, like, there's a Joe Montana. You need to have, like, you need to be a small town, like, that this is your calling card. But, like, Columbus has the Blue Jackets. It has Ohio State. It has, apparently, a huge foothold in the culinary world. Like, it's too big to be funny. And then you mix in the fact that you're taking Columbus's name off it for different levels of important reasons. So then you are kind of mocking that. I think this just needed, if you just were a tiny town in Ohio that no one knew about, and you're like, hey, let's get some attention by being named Flavortown, it'd be easier to get behind.
So I do get that, but I guess my counter argument would be there are so many serious things in this world, and we know 2020 has dealt us so many, that wouldn't it be okay to have a fairly major city named something really goofy just that, like, we can relax and laugh again? Like, if we came out of 2020 and all the bad that happened in 2020, and by New Year's Eve, as we're sitting there on our TVs reflecting, going, man, I can't wait to get to 2021, if the biggest positive to come out of the year, outside of hopefully a vaccine, more serious stuff would be, but hey, Columbus did rename their town Flavortown. I don't think there's anybody in America who could be offended by that. I think you would look back and laugh, and it would be something we could all agree on. Like, that's kind of awesome. So I don't get behind him stepping down. I don't. He should be able to get to Ohio, present this. This has steam now. What you started in cheekiness, I mean, as he called it, an international story. We got to do this.
I guess, though, do we need, if you were to change your name to Flavortown, do you need to then go all in and, like, become your own little, like, nation state and have Guy Fieri on your money? And maybe, like, you have to have some kind of spiky hair and only eat, you know, average to below average branded salsa? Can you just name yourself Flavortown? Or is this, once you're in, you got to be in all the way?
What you would have, though, is a very competitive restaurant market, because you could not be the bland-tasting restaurant in town in Flavortown. There's no doubt. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is brought to you by Geico. Geico has introduced the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that lasts longer than your full policy term. Or that lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. We have sound check, including somebody we know well here on the DA show, finally discovering a backyard game we've probably been playing way longer than he realizes. It's sound check next. This is the DA show on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Paul George, Clippers forward, taking a little shot at his former team, the Pacers, as we begin Soundcheck.
I had, at the time, the best power forward saying he wanted to come to Indy and team up with me. They like, we're a mid-major. We're a small market. Like, we can't do it. We're a small market. We can't afford that. I'm like, the best power forward wants to come play here. Like, Y'all can't make that work. They didn't want to do it. Now I'm pissed because it's like, what am I doing here? You know what I mean? Like, they don't want to win.
All right, so right off the bat, I'm going to be honest with you. I thought this was going to have in there who this was. Who is he talking about? Who's the power
Anthony
forward?
Anthony Davis.
Oh, okay, so Anthony
Davis is the assumption.
Okay, the assumption is Anthony Davis wanted to come there and the Pacers didn't want to do it. All right, I mean, look, if that is the truth and the Pacers are saying we're a small market and we can't afford that, especially in a league driven by salary cap, Bogus, I can't live with that. And that tells me, if I'm a Pacer fan, if that is the truth, that you're never really serious about fully committing in today's NBA to win an NBA championship if you don't want to chase the stars.
Well, it just tells me, too, that, like, we need to give players, and some guys have not handled these situations well altogether and have picked the wrong time to do it. But oftentimes, like, there's a fairly valid reason why guys put their foot down and go, I don't want to be here anymore. I want a change of scenery. And, again, guys have gone about it the wrong way. But the idea that players should just stay where they are and accept whatever is going on around them, to me, is flawed logic. Like, those guys live in the moment. They know the coach is a jerk. They know the GM isn't doing a good job. They know that ownership is cheap. And why should they sit there in a bad situation when you have a finite number of years to be a good NBA player and try and win championships?
Great. You got it? Okay. I thought you were going to read the second one, Bogus, and this is where we get miscommunication.
My fault.
You know what? Let's scratch the second one. Let's go right to the third one because we're going to run out of time, and let's not give Pete, that was bad communication on our part, reset, timeout.
It was my fault.
Right. We're going to wave off the second clip. Pete, we have a sports radio host, a famous sports radio host, who is just learning about a yard game. Let's hear that at Sasha.
Now, if you're not familiar with cornhole, you see it on the beach or you see it on people's lawn. It's this game that you play with bean bags. It's kind of like bocce. So if you don't have a bocce court, which we happen to have a bocce court, because I had one built at the house, because the kids love it, and we used to play it at different family functions, so we have our own court, 13 by 90, the whole thing, a real bocce court, built it next to the basketball court. So we were playing in the backyard today with these beautifully appointed cornhole boards. I mean, so you get these two boards, a little less than a third of the way down, there's a hole cut in the middle, and you put them 27 feet apart. You can play with two people, you can play with four. And basically, you get 3 points if you put it in the hole. And if you leave it on the board, you get a point. You get four throws each round against your opponent. So your opponent throws four times, you throw four times. Singles, doubles, mostly doubles. They throw these bean bags or corn bags. That's the idea of cornhole. It's supposed to be corn in the bag. So, and they weigh about 16 ounces or so. So, game has caught on a lot. It's gotten very popular.
Oh, Mike, if it's gotten very popular and you see it's caught on, why did you just explain every metric, Bogus? She's got the distance between the boards, why they're called corn bags, the weight of the bag. He's explaining where the hole is down the board, and then tops it up by saying, well, the game's got very popular. Yeah, Mike, we're aware of the game. We've been playing it for 5 years, more than that. It's on TV. What are we doing?
I will thank him. I did not know they were supposed to be 27 feet apart. I've always wondered what the gap should be.
So you learned something.
I did learn that. I mean, I was just waiting for him to be like, you know, you put the bag in your hand, you bring your hand back, whichever hand you want, you know, right or left, and then you bring your arm forward, and at some point you let go of the bag, and it flies.
Well, that was the abridged version, Bogus.
Yeah. My goodness. What? He is a marvel.
And by the way, all the jokes we make about me having Blob's Bar in an above-ground pool, all the luscious land that DA has, just know, if everybody thinks we're living this high life, we don't have both a basketball court and a regulation-sized bocce court in our backyard, as Mike alluded to. And I just want to say, he has these things, and we made fun of him like a year ago, because he was talking about having to come out of the pool to go inside to go see what was going on with a Met game. He has all this going on, and he hasn't figured out how to put a TV on the outside of his house. The guy's basically living in a carnival, and he doesn't have a TV in his house. I mean, come on. Also, I mean, I don't want to, you know, whatever with whoever is playing whatever games. Who's still playing bocce in 2020 when you have cornhole and can jam going on?
And let me, before the hour ends, explain my idiocy for sound check number two, because as we're coming back from the break, Pete gets in my ear and goes, are you okay with what Sean wrote? So I go to our little chat thing, and the last thing I see is, my dog just went again, this time in the garage can. in the garbage can. So I thought Pete wanted me to reference that. I didn't know how to scroll up because I couldn't see your previous message, which said you read sound check number two. I thought he was making sure that I saw that there was another accident in your basement.
Yeah, more on the accident from Eli in my basement soon. This is the DA Show. And if you want cornhole regulation, just go back and listen to that. We'll put it in the best of the DA Show. When we come back, NBA security bubble, what's going on in Orlando? Next on the DA Show. No!
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.